Kenya Grace right here on the Fuse 984 with Strangers. It's definitely becoming a Fuse favorite. Good morning. How are you doing? Let me know as per usual on Facebook, Instagram, and X. You're giving us your opinions as well on 0701-984-984. As I did mention, tomorrow is International Women's Day, and there's so much to do and so much to say. According to the United Nations, the theme this year is to inspire. To be exact, it's inspire inclusion. And of course, it's invest in women, accelerate progress, and so much more. So I wanted to know all about what Kenya is up to, what's happening for the state of women as well as young girls. And this is why I'm joined in studio with Nairobi County Women's Representative, Honorable Esther Pasaris. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I wanted to start off with what is happening in the state of Kenya right now when it comes to women, when it comes to femicide. What's going on?
Well, I mean, we're going through hardship, and the hardship that we're going through as It's women. Of course, we're seeing a lot of femicide, but there's also a lot of homicide. We've got a lot of young men also dying. But we're putting a focus on the women, and most of the women, it's partner. If you look at the cases, almost 90% will be somebody they know, somebody that they've lived with, trusted, you know, married to. So the thing is, the rise in femicide is caused by the awareness on social media. It comes out very quickly. I think our police are also put on the spot. It reminds me of My Dress, My Choice. When My Dress, My Choice happened, it was about four or five incidents, one after the other, that we led to the march. And after the march, arrests were made, people were put in. So we have a situation where I think stress is heightened. Mental health is up there. And people are frustrated. And the message that we should get out there is, you know, if it's not working, get out. You know, you don't have to kill your partner and end up in jail. And, you know, we've also seen women who kill men, mm-hmm. all right? So for me, I think as a society, you know, with a population of over 50 million, we're bound to have incidents. Will we have zero femicide? No. The saddest part will be when it's not recognized that it's happening, when it's not, there are no arrests made, where people are not jailed, the judiciary comes into play, where laws are strengthened to make people think twice, you know. So is it intoxication? Is it drugs? Is it alcohol? Is it just the stresses of life? You know, it is hard. And I think all over the world, we're seeing heightened mental cases, mental disease increasing, and many more coming up. Access to medication is not there. The frustration of unemployment, you know, and you think, you know, if you're unemployed, why would you end up taking drugs? Because the drug peddlers make all manner of drugs. They don't mind even if they make a shilling on you. They will try and make that money and bring you down. So I like the war that we're having right now against illicit brews and bars everywhere in residential areas. I've just seen Kindiki, the CS, has issued a directive that no bars in residential areas, because it makes it so easy for you, if your parents are out working, for you to pop into the bar and you're underage. Mm-hmm. You know. So we have a lot of work to do as society. The church has a lot of work to do. The medical fraternity has a lot of work to do. Parents have a lot of work to do. Can we say that all this is happening because both parents are working to bring bread on the table and the children are being neglected, raised by house help without direction? Everything, you know, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. Everybody has a piece to make that perfect picture. And the only way we're going to make that perfect picture is if we all bring our piece on the table. No blame game, you know. Something's happened. We have to understand why. You know, we need studies that will be conducted. Why? What drug? What frustration? How do we fix it? You know, the reason why most of us are given money for civic is so that we can bring and highlight these issues. We spent a lot of our money on civic on teenage pregnancies. We saw the ugly face of teenage pregnancies during the pandemic. Over 300,000 children defiled. Mm. You know, if you look at that percentage, maybe 10% was promiscuity between, you know, same age group, but majority was defilement by teachers. I have a relative from Nyahururu who's got twins, and it was her teacher, and he's threatened her, you know, and I'm trying to follow that case up as well to see, you know, where is this teacher right now? You know, he impregnated this young girl, threatens her that he will bewitch the family. So we still have a lot of learning to do. And so she is stranded with two children to raise. And this is just one case. And this is somebody that's related to me. So it comes close to home. And how many other cases are there of teachers or uncles or fathers or brothers who have taken advantage of young innocents and turned them into parents at such a young age?
Right. Mm-hmm. I think with the age of the internet, though, it allows everybody to see what is happening in real time. It allows people to also hold government accountable. And it's been quite quiet for me personally, and quite a lot of women speaking up when it comes to female representatives, when it comes to females in high positions of power to make legislation. So I wanted to know from you personally, why do you think there has been quite a silence when it comes to the women that we are looking up to for help as well?
Do you know, I you know, when you say silence, I think, you know, as women legislators, and we're still not at one third, as women legislators in Parliament, we have KEWOPA, which is the Kenya Women Parliamentarians Association. We have laws. We don't have a shortage of laws. We have a well-funded judiciary. We have a well-funded police service. We have the DCI. So when somebody commits a crime, wakes up in the morning and murders his wife, right? What can the women representatives do other than to come out and say, you know, we sympathize with the family and something needs to be done? What I did when I started seeing that, because quite a few incidents happened in Nairobi, I'm in touch with the DCI. I ask him, what's going on here? Arrests were made almost promptly. The problem is now my conflict here, and this is when we try and align ourselves with the human rights across the world, is that such offenses, when you know that this is the person who committed the crime, right, are bailable. I have a problem with that. When you know that somebody has done something so horrific, and then you think about his human rights, forget the person who he's killed, and his human rights, so we will not have the death sentence, right? So Texas will keep him in jail forever. And then who knows, one day in the future, for good behavior, he'll be pardoned. So we live in a very, in a world where we're fighting for human rights for everybody, right? But at the same time, as we fight for one's human rights, we negate another's human rights. So where is the human rights for this person who lost the life, a mother, a daughter, an aunt? So this guy now can be bailed out, and that's the law, you know. So we need to look at sexual offenses, sexual gender-based violence, and say when the evidence is glaring, it should not be bailable, because you're sending this person out there and he can meddle with the case. Again, they say innocent until proven guilty. I feel that, you know, when we come to cutting budgets, we shouldn't cut the budgets of the police. We should enhance the budgets. We should have a special GBV that does investigations quick. You know, if we say we can do an electoral process, a presidential election in 14 days, surely we should be able to have the same for GBV. You need to be able to sentence that person quickly. Some of these cases take forever. The person is out on the loose. And then if the person is innocent, but the evidence was glaring, and it takes time, then again you're thinking, well, it took time, so at least the innocence was proved. But I think we need to have a special unit that deals with GBV in the judiciary, in the police force, at the DCI, so that people don't think that the easiest thing I can do is get up, beat my wife. You know, real men don't beat women. Real men don't beat women. Remember, I mean, I grew up being caned by my mom. Today, you can't can a child in Europe. You can't even slap your child because the child has rights. And then you think, can you discipline a child without caning? So, you know, I brought up my children, my two children. I think I probably smacked McKenna once when she was very rude. And I don't think I've ever smacked my son. And it's got nothing to do with gender. But I felt guilty, and I look at the way my mom raised me and my father. I mean, we were canned like crazy, you know, and the school as well. We used to put our knuckles out, and the teachers would can us with those rulers, you know. And we grew up and we survived that. But today, I think we need to have a lot more talking with our children. I think there's a thin line between being your daughter or your son's friend, mm-hmm. and at the same time, being a mother. Being a mother doesn't mean you have to be harsh. It means you have to understand that you were once a child and you knew what you went through. So I had this, you know, McKenna and I, my daughter, we're almost friends. We talk about anything, you know. And the reason I like that is because she can trust me, you know, to come and tell me anything. Even things that were happening within her friends, I could also help her friends. So I feel that, there's discipline and then there's counseling. And that's why we're trying to, I have a question coming from the Ministry of Education, which was addressed recently, on what are we doing about counseling. At the schools that my children went to, there was a counselor on site. If you, the teacher felt you were troubled, or if somebody, you had a problem in the family, you would go to see the counselor. And then there's also learning disabilities. Most of the Kenyan schools, we don't really pay attention to learning disabilities. You might call a child stupid, and yet the child is autistic, or the child is just dyslexic. I'm dyslexic. I could never write. My handwriting was like the worst in the class. I couldn't even read it myself. Mm-hmm. I could interchange numbers. You tell me to write 1969, I'll write 1996, you know, because my brain takes the later one instead of the first one. It's only after my kids went to school that in Europe that I discovered that, hey, I am dyslexic. I have ADHD. These are ailments that require assistance. And when we don't give the assistance, then these children become frustrated. Other kids laugh at them that you can't write, you can't read, you can't, you're slow. And yet you're actually gifted, because when you're dyslexic, you're gifted. I am what I am today because of my gift of dyslexia. It wasn't a curse, it was a gift, but it needed to be nurtured. You know, our brains work and are wired differently. All right, but we are differently very, very intelligent, very, very able. I mean, Richard Branson, dyslexic, you know. So for me, I think that there's so many things that require budget and money. And now the government has to find a balance. Which one do you ignore? You can't ignore any, because every citizen has a right to have whatever he's going through addressed. And I hope that SHIF, the new medical cover that we're going to have, will pick a lot of these ailments and put money into them. But I love parents. I love parents coming together and forming associations and saying, you know what, we have children that are cerebral palsy, autistic, you know, and we want our children to also have the best. And they're coming together and becoming a force. Government is doing its part, but I think parents, the ultimate role of raising a child is the parent's responsibility. And that's why I say family planning is so important. Mm-hmm. Don't have a child because you had sex. Have a child because you've planned to have a child, mm-hmm. and you want a child.
In just a bit, we're going to be getting back into the conversation. Like I did mention earlier, tomorrow is International Women's Day and the theme is Inspire Inclusion. I want you to get included in the conversation. All you have to do is send me your questions on the Fuse at 984. There's so much to get into. Best mix of music, 98.4 Capital FM. It's Anne Moira here, a day before International Women's Day, and you know I am so excited. I'm actually joined in studio with Honourable Esther Pasaris, who is the Nairobi County Women's Representative. I wanted to know from you, I'm very curious, what do you know now when it comes to the world of politics that you wish you knew when you were starting off? What advice would you give yourself?
Wow, I mean, you know, there are so many problems. Our politics is a bit different. Nothing prepares you for going in, unless maybe you had somebody in your family that was a politician. I wasn't. I wanted to go in because I felt government is not working for me. Adopt a light went down. Good idea. Why am I being fought? I wanted to get in there and understand. I also believe that my calling is helping the poor people. I wanted to see what can I do to impact the poor people. When I got in there, I realized that we have this tokenism way of doing politics. People are very poor and very vulnerable, and they look at their members of parliament as, I wouldn't want to say the ATM, because a lot of people say that, wow, every time they have a need, they're looking for you to give them money for that need. And some of the needs are genuine. Some of them are, of course, just con men out there who've learned how to fleece MPs. They spend the whole day in the morning just texting MPs and saying, I have this problem, making the story really soapy, and you'll send them money. I mean, I've had people telling me that they have a dead body, and then I call the city mortuary and I say, do you have this body with this name? And there is no such body. So, you know, people are getting creative in trying to extort money. But the thing is, people have needs. We have money for bursaries. It's not enough. to give all the people that want bursaries. It doesn't even scratch the surface. We have money for empowerment, to start a business or to keep a charma going. We don't have enough for everyone. We have money for doing countywide projects and value addition. So there are some people that you'll give money and projects to, and you will see the impact. And there are others that you will give and you see no impact at all. So it's difficult. You see, I think for you to break the cycle of poverty, it's not about the government giving you the push. It's about you giving yourself that push. Because I've seen, there's a lady called Shiru in Madare. She came to us and she says she wanted catering units. You know, she wanted an entire shoving dishes, spoons, plates. Because every time she did a catering, she had to hire those stuff. And they were taking all her profits. So it was about 600,000. We bought her the catering units, everything. We gave it to her. She employs people from the slums. She trains them on how to be chefs. She now does catering of up to 3,000. She even catered for the Africa Climate Summit. So she has drive and initiative. Is her life easy? No. It's every single day you have to work hard. If you look at anybody, whether it's KFC, whether it's a Family Bank, whether it's Equity Bank, and you hear the stories of where they started, it's hard work. It's success today, failure tomorrow, success today, failure tomorrow, learning from your lessons and continuing, never giving up. People today think that the quickest way to make money is to steal. The quickest way to make money is to be corrupt. And sadly, it's becoming a way of life. And when we see somebody, social media shows you this extravagant lifestyle. And when you see this extravagant lifestyle and you want it at any cost, even if it means killing a relative to take the land or swindling a relative abroad who has sent you money to buy them a property because they want to come back and retire at home. So we have criminality going on. And I think much as we have churches, mosques, and temples, right, we have a lot of religion, but we have very little spiritual growth, where a person is in touch with their inner self, the inner being, the person that lives within, the soul that lives within them, that makes them know what is right and what is wrong. And this is something you journey forever. And the only advice I can give people is the only time that I know I connect with God, whoever I perceive God to be, is in my silence. You have so much going on in your head. You have clutter, this, that, the other. Yes, it is not things not done, things that were done to you years ago that have harmed you. So we need that silence. So the Women Representatives Fund is 6.9 million shillings a constituency a year. For bursaries, we have only 1.5 million. The MP for the constituency has about 50, 60 million. MPs are always raising their money. I hear they've just raised themselves with 30 million. They will not raise it for the women rep. So the women representative has a lot more scope, but very little money. But what I say is, so long as we use whatever we're given well. Now, when I came in, I saw GBV was a big issue. We've put units in all the police stations which we're supposed to commission. We're trying to make sure that we network all the call center numbers. And then we've put a safe house in Nairobi. It's going to be the first government-run safe house. We're doing it with Governor Sakaja. So we signed it with Nkananu. It took years to get the land. And Kananu coming in, being a woman, understood what we wanted to achieve. And, you know, it's a project that's ongoing and we hope to commission it this year. So we've put a lot of money. I mean, from our projects, we get 25 million a year. So to build a safe house of 150 million, we've had to save from the last parliament to this parliament. So if I leave the safe house as a legacy, I'll be very proud of that. But there's also people living with disabilities. Mm-hmm. And people living with disability need a lot more support, more than the 2,000 or 3,000 we're giving them. And I think government has to come up with halfway homes and shelters, because I've seen women who have autistic children worry, what happens to me when I die? Mm-hmm. Who will take my child? My husband ran off. My children are already burdened. Who will take my autistic child? So we need to have halfway homes. We need to have daycare centers for so the mothers can be able to have a breather and also work. There's a lot that we need to do, but we have limited budget. And that's why I'm for taxation. But I'm for taxation well utilized. Because people say, why pay the taxes? And then we don't see the results because of corruption. I think we do have corruption as a big issue, but we've also seen things that are being done, you know, like... we see the express highways, we see the bypasses. It took Raila going and being called Tinga. Everybody was against him breaking all those houses and all the clearing the way. But today we appreciate the bypasses. I think the on medical, we have a lot of work to do. We need to make sure that SHIF works. You know, right now I have a list of patients who need implants. Can you imagine? You've had an accident. You've fractured your leg and you require implants to have the surgery. And NHIF will not pay for the pre-diagnostic implants. It's not covered. So you are sent back home until your family can raise 30,000-40,000 for you to get the implant. So right now I'm actually looking for money to take the people that require the surgery to get their surgeries. I can't imagine the kind of pain they're going through, because even the painkillers, you don't get outpatient medicine. So we have a lot of challenges, but I always believe that a problem known is a problem half solved. So we got to see how can we do it. And that's why I'm supporting SHIF, because when we have the taxes, then we can support people who have children with cerebral palsy and autistic children, and you require medication on a monthly basis, diabetes. You can't afford that money. You can't afford to pay those prescription drugs. But we also need to make sure that we bring drugs down. And I met a gentleman recently who said he wants to open a pharmacy that's going to have low prices. We can bring generic stuff. It does the same work. I mean, the kind of medicine I buy when I'm in India for the monthly consumption for my family members, it's 10 or 15% of what we pay here in Kenya. We have good relationships with India. Why not open pharmacies that people can make reasonable profit and at the same time give medication to people much cheaper? We have to figure out how certain essential commodities are affordable for the general public. So when it comes to the women representatives, I see all the women representatives doing a lot with the marginalized. But there's this perception that we only work for women. No, we work for everybody. The title of the seat is woman representative because it's a woman who's going to come in. But we are county MPs. So can you imagine? Nairobi has 17 constituencies. I am the county MP. So it's almost like you're the governor, the legislator for the entire county, 17 constituencies, 85 wards, and your budget is even lower than your MCA. Right? And you still expected to do so much more. And my running is everywhere. If there's a fire in Mathare, all watch will go only to Mathare. If there's a fire in Dagoretti North, Elachi will go only in Dagoretti North. I will go both places. And sometimes I can't go because I don't have anything to give. In fact, sometimes my friends don't even pick up my phone because I'm always calling and asking for money. I get 1 million shillings for disasters in a year. That is utilized in the first month in one fire in Nairobi. So what do you do? So, you know, there are challenges. What I didn't know is how much money will be required to help people. I mean, I went and I picked up children who had not reported to school. A child getting 401 marks and you haven't reported to school because 30,000 shillings for uniforms. Then I asked myself, why do we need to wear these uniforms? Why do we need blazers in this heat in Africa? Why don't you just have nice cotton dress with a sweater? Make it 2,000 shillings to kit a child so that the child can go to school. Why don't we have a system of buying uniforms and keeping them in school? Mattresses. Can you imagine carrying a mattress to school? You know, some of the things that we do is ridiculous. Why do we need to have books bought by every parent? And we're saying we're trying to save trees. Why can't the school just buy the books? I said to the CS, why can't you buy the books every 5 years and the books remain in the school library and the children can access them? Why do you need to every child to come with a book to school, a dictionary, a Bible, an atlas? You don't need that, you know, because then they're going to end up on the dump sites. So why can't we make sure that the school buys it? The school buys the mattresses, the bed linen, the towels. The government provides that, you know, through the capitation. Can we provide that? So you don't have a child going to school with a mattress on his back. It's ridiculous. You know, with towels, we can do some of these things. And we'll create more employment because you'll have laundry mats within the school. We have to be a bit more progressive. I think this is probably Africa where you see children going with big suitcases and big tins and big mattresses on their back and blazers. I mean, who wears a blazer? You can't wear a blazer. Nairobi, the whole country is so hot. Why does a child need an embroidered blazer? You know, a sweater. So we're making it too expensive. A child going to a public school requires 30,000 to kit themselves to go to school. Actually 35 when you put the books in. It's ridiculous. Right. They can't afford it.
Right. Please, send in your questions. Keep sending them in. We're going to get them in just a bit. Let's get the news headlines and then back to the feud. Capital FM. That's right. It is Capital FM, your best mix of music. It's Anne Mora here on the Fuse at 984. And I'm joined in studio with Honourable Esther Passar. She is the Nairobi County Women's Representative. We're talking everything in Nairobi and in Kenya in general and what we can do to make not just young women and, of course, girls feel safe as well, but everybody living a lot better. I do want to know from you, though, how do you do it? Because I've been on Twitter, I've been now called X, I've been on Instagram, you know, I've been on Facebook, and people can be mean and they can get graphic with what they want to say. So how do you handle it, and what advice would you give a young lady wanting to come into politics and stand up for other women? How do you handle it?
First of all, I mean, Kenyans on X or Kenyans on Twitter, I don't know, there's something about Kenyans on Twitter, they are very nasty, but there's also very good people out there. And I think the best thing to do is if somebody, I always say that there are 8 billion people in the world, all right? So you have a choice on who can be your friend and who you should associate with and who you should listen to. So you have two ears, you can block them. You have two eyes, you can block them, all right? You don't have to consume everything that everyone gives you. When somebody is negative and insulting, I just block them. And that's why the feature is there. And I block them and I leave them behind. I don't carry them like on my backpack. You know, I always say that every human being has a backpack. And that backpack, you choose what to put in it and you carry the weight that you can. So every time somebody insults you, it's like a rock is given to you. If you put it on the backpack, then what happens is eventually you can't walk, you can't move, you can't think. You're consumed by all this hate. So what you have to do is just unpack it. Never put anything on you that is negative, all right? So for me, I move on, you know, I move on. I believe that there's a lesson in everything, all right? So you learn the lesson to become a better person than they are, all right? To forgive so that you can move on. You don't carry that weight and burden of their insults. And basically you just continue on your path. You have to know who you are. Your life on this earth is so short and you've got a lot to do. So do you, all right? Do you, all right? And look after your parents, all right? Be their siblings as much as possible, but don't take everybody's burden, because sometimes when you're the successful person in a family, you become burdened by that family, all right? So you have to create a balance between blood and everyone else. All right. So for me, I help people that deserve to be helped, right? That I pray about. I always pray about. If somebody comes to me and asks for help, I pray about it. I want to know that, God, is this the person I'm supposed to help? Is this, like, about 2-3 weeks ago, I went to Bagathi Hospital because of one patient called Pauline. She was in the explosion and she fractured her leg. And I met her at Mama Lucy. And I was wondering why they're sending her home. She's in so much pain. And they bandaged her up and they sent her home. So I realized later on she had burns. They'd done an x-ray. She had fractured her leg in two different places. So later on, I took the husband's number and I kept in touch with him. And then he said, look, my wife is in a lot of pain. Please send an ambulance again to pick her, because I don't know how I'm going to put her in a Uber. And so I sent the ambulance. You know, I called Nairobi Ambulance Services and I said, please send the ambulance to pick this patient, Pauline. Then Mama Lucy was full. And then I took her to Bagathi. I met the orthopedic surgeon there. And the orthopedic surgeon said, look, Governor Sakaja said free medical, but not free implants. She needs implants for us to conduct the surgery. So I'm like, how much are the implants? You know, and he goes, about 30,000. So I bought the implants. We did the surgery. But then you know what? I asked the doctor and the CEO, can you tell me how many patients are out there that need surgery that you've sent back home that have no money for implants? And there are many. He sent me the entire list. So I'm trying to raise some money right now, but I'll be coming Kenyans on X, all right? So instead of always insulting, I want a little pennies from you so we can get all these patients that require. And I saw one on the list was 16 years old. So can you imagine, you have a fracture, all right? And you have no NHIF, or even if you had NHIF, you need the implants. Implants are not covered, and I hope SHIF will cover implants. So when you get into hospital with an accident, I can't imagine with all the carnage we have, families are trying to raise money for implants. So for me, we live in a world where there's both good and evil, all right? You have to choose what to consume. If you consume evil, you will be bitter and angry and your life will not go the right way. So you have to forgive, you have to accept, and you have to move on. Not everybody's going to love you, all right? Haters will always be there, but you vote 8 billion people, so choose who you want to be with. I've got a clique of friends, my girlfriends, you know, a clique of friends, and we just love each other, and we spend more time together. We try and see each other once a week, go for a movie, go for dinner, just hang in each other's houses. That's my therapy, to talk to my friends. And we don't talk about work. We just talk about being friends and, you know, our families and how we're going to move things. So a politician had a life before she became a politician, will have a life after she becomes a politician. And, you know, people hate and they don't understand the sacrifices that we make, all right? I've never earned my salary. It's always going out there to help somebody or somebody else, you know. So for me, I just feel I do good. The good Lord sees what I do, all right? He's my judge. He's the one who gives me life, because, you know, you can hate me all you want and threaten me, oh, 2027, you're not going in again. I don't know what 2027 will bring. I don't know if I will be alive. I don't know if this will be the space I want. All I know is today I'm the elected, duly elected, not nominated, woman representative. I am here to serve everybody. I had a brain before I joined politics. I will have a brain after I leave politics. I had independent thought. I continue to have independent thought. And the reason I say that is because, you know, there's this whole thing about political loyalty. For me, my loyalty is to God. And after God, the Bible says, honor your mother and your father. So I honor my mother and father. Love thy neighbor. I love my neighbor. All right? And basically, I just feel that one needs to be spiritually enlightened. And that's a journey. And if I'm looking at my spiritual growth since I became a politician, if I was at 4, I've probably gone to 6. And I'm working. It's a work in progress every day. So for haters out there, just block them. Mm-hmm. All right? You don't need them in your space. Have a circle of friends. Go for therapy. I went for therapy for 6 years. And the reason I went to therapy, and I'm not ashamed to say this, I was Dr. Okonjo's patient. I went for therapy because I had things that I needed to process and to deal with that I didn't understand. And they were personal. And it helped. It helps to talk to somebody. It helps to talk to somebody who can break it down for you. Because sometimes the problem seems complex to you, but when somebody, you know, how do you consume an elephant? One bite at a time. So whatever your problem, you can overcome. And then YouTube, you know, if you're going to spend time on YouTube, there's so many people. Like, I like Wayne Dyer, you know, I like Esther Hicks, I like Michael Singler. These are all Tony Robbins. Incidentally, he follows me on X, and I'm so honored that he follows me on X. And he has free online courses. You know, always teach yourself to become a better version of you, right? Not a better version of someone else. When people meet me and say, oh, when I grow up, I want to be like you, I said, no, you want to be the best person that you can be as you.
Right. And you got me thinking, though, about, let's say, the average Kenyan or the person who is in hospital and they can't afford, you know, to get the surgery, but they've been sent home. So obviously they're going to go on X and see the person they've elected or the person that's going to represent them. And then they start to ask, are they actually following through on what they're saying? Because then it starts to feel like, you know, it's empty promises. It might be taking too long, but it starts to feel like empty promises. And then you start to even doubt your own opinion on picking somebody who's meant to represent you and take care of you and, you know, make the tough decisions on your behalf. So I wanted to know from you, what are some current organizations that you're working with as a women's representative that are ongoing, that are helping ease the average Kenyan's struggle?
You know, I work with various companies, and I've had donations from various companies. But you see, also some of these companies, they reach a point where they say, you know, we're being taxed. Government should do its part. So I think we're in a catch-22 right now, and I really am praying that our president is, and I believe he is, one, working very hard, two, connected to the issues that we're dealing with, and three, trying to strengthen the institutions. We can't get anywhere without strengthening the institutions. We also can't get anywhere without tightening our belts, and at the same time, making sure that we deal with corruption decisively. So he's got his work cut out for him as the head of the state. But when you look at parliament, sometimes we look at what legislations can we have. We don't have a shortage of legislation. We have a shortage of budget and implementation of the legislation. So for me, one person in parliament cannot do everything. It's collective effort, and government has the majority. So I support certain initiatives. Like, I'm supporting the housing initiative. It has its challenges. All right. I'm supporting the, I'm not in the health committee, but I'm also supporting the SHIF, because I think it's important making sure that we strengthen NHIF or SHIF as we move along. So long as you don't hear about something that is negative and you keep quiet about it, we can make noise. And I've seen that some of the noise that I make, I mean, let me tell you what, I was in the health committee in the last parliament, and I'm so proud that we fought so hard as the health committee, and I did it socially online, to make sure that Kenyatta University Teaching Referral and Research Hospital was open. I recently went there and took a patient, and I was so proud of the effort that I made. I remember Frances Moriah coming to the health committee and saying, oh, Esther, thanks to you, I'm here today. The president caught your social media posts on Kenyatta University Hospital. 8 billion shillings sunk. The hospital is stalled for 2 years. And he sent me here. I'm here to make sure it works. And even when they were about to, he told me, you know, you were so passionate about this. Who do you think should run the chair of the hospital? I said, come on, I can't think of anyone better than Olive Mugenda. It's her baby. She understands it, and she became the chair. So, you know, in my own little way, I've done my bit. Margaret Kenyatta Hospital, you know, I mean, I found that hospital as I was campaigning. I walked in. And I went on social media, and then I went to the ministry. I went to the head of budget, and I said, we need, Kimani Ichung'o is the head of budget. I said, I need 50 million, or we need to finish this hospital. And nobody knew about this hospital. It had stalled for 25 years. Even it was started even before Mama Lucy. So I went to see the CS Susan, the PS, and I said to her, there's a hospital I need to take you. It's a 300-bed hospital. And she goes, okay, I'll come tomorrow. I picked her up from the ministry. We drove her there. She saw the hospital. She put money to it. It was commissioned. For me, I've done, if those are the only things I've done, I still feel I've done my part, you know? So that's where I'm concerned and I'm focused. And I feel that you have to celebrate your own milestones, and those are some of the milestones I celebrate.
Mm-hmm. And as I started off with mentioning, the internet has given us accessibility to people that we have elected, so it allows us to talk freely. But I do want to know, are there actual systems in place that are addressing various issues? Is there a landline I can call? How can I reach my government electives and representatives?
Okay, I think I have over 50,000 people, and I'm on social media. And what I did is I had all my accounts verified. Of course, sometimes you can't listen to everybody, but I do pick a few and I do address a few. Okay, so when it comes to GBV, we have about 5 or 6 hotlines. We're trying to merge them into one. All right, and to highlight them, because we want government to take charge and response when it comes to GBV. When it comes to reaching your woman representative, I think I'm very accessible because with the 40,000 contacts. But of course, I can't see all those messages. I've got, like here, I've been sitting here for an hour. When I go back, I'll have probably another 500 messages. But the thing is, we are all on social media. We are active. So the best time sometimes is to get us. We have functions. And when we have functions, we announce the functions. You can show up when we're having a function. Some people come and we're able to talk and address. But you see, a lot of the people that come to us are coming to us for individual problems, which we've already met before. Whether it's my child hasn't gone to school, whether I'm dealing with a disabled child, whether I don't have a job, I'm being thrown out of the house, I don't have rent. We don't have a rent budget. I've paid a few people's rent. So it's the whole country at the moment is in dire need, and the needs are increasing. So as leaders, we try with the resources that we have, both personal, friends, and corporate, I mean, from the government, to do the best that we can. And I believe that the big elephant in the room for me is always family planning. I keep telling people, I meet a woman who has 5 children. 3 are not in school, all right? And she's pregnant. And does she have a husband at home? No. Are all these 5 children from the same man? No. Why are you having your 5th or 6th child? Why? There's family planning that the government is giving. You know, the thing is, ultimately, the children are going to suffer because you're not able to provide for them. So we have to also, we perish from a lack of knowledge. I speak family planning for the simple reason that if life is already hard, right, don't go having more children. I'm dealing with a disabled boy, and the mother is passed on about 2 years ago. This boy had an accident on Lunga Lunga. I took on this case. I even pay their rent every month. And there were 8 children. And from those 8 children, 5 of those children, girls, all have, when you go to that house, It's like a nursery school. Each one has 4 or 5 children. And and they can't afford to pay their rent. They can't afford to feed their disabled brother. They can't afford to pay for their children to go to school. They're all struggling, but they're giving birth every year. So there's this hope and this attitude that people have that if I give this man a child, he will look after the other children. I want women to start knowing that you have to be the primary giver of your child, because your husband could die, your husband could walk away, and the next man is not going to look after your child. You have to look after your child. So we have to family plan. Children have to be planned. We have a lot of chaos and problems right now with children that have not gone to school. When it comes to schools in Nairobi, government has put 1 billion shillings into additional classrooms in Nairobi. We need the classrooms because we have a lot of children that don't transition to secondary. So we're addressing those problems one by one, you know. And it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be fixed today. But so long as we're taking the positive steps towards fixing them, I think we're moving in the right direction. But when government is already burdened, please, if you have 2 children, you know, people say, oh, I need a son. I've got 2 daughters. You'll get sons-in-law. You'll get sons-in-law. Your daughters will bring husbands home. You know, please, don't have children. You can have sex. You don't have to have children. If you're going to have sex and you don't know your partner, please use a condom. We celebrated World Condom Day. Mm-hmm. And we, as government, again, we're not providing enough condoms. We need to put more money into condoms. But condoms, pregnancy, HIV is on the increase. People are feeling that, oh, cancer kills you faster than HIV. Retroviral drugs cost. If our donors pull out, we're stuck. So everything, personal responsibility, is so important. I am one person elected by 750,000 people, but Nairobi has a population of 5 million people, all right? All of us have a responsibility to better our lives. All of us have a responsibility to doing good. I started doing good before I became a politician. I was a leader without a title. Now I have a title. I'll continue doing good even beyond the title. All I want is let's take responsibility. The government is one arm. You are the main arm. You are the root of your family. And the peace and stability of the country is also a root for your family. But can we all be responsible citizens?
There you go. Do keep sending in your questions to Honourable Esther Pasars, the Nairobi's County Women's Representative. Let's get the news. Yes, I do know I'm way over, but it's a very important conversation. And then back to the feud.